The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. We don't care how you take us in, we just appreciate that you do.
That's right.
Any which way. It's Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Midland, producer number nine. So much more than a producer.
Yo, yo.
Hope you got in on that 9.5.
Yeah, because I didn't.
Because it's 10 now, and I was going to bet the first five. You know what the first five is? 5.5. Massive adjustment.
So going back to the bullpens,
yes.
Do you like the full game bet better than first five?
Yeah, typically I have liked the first five better because for me it's the fly ball starting pitchers. Today would be one of those days where I think I probably like the full game just as much, if not better. Yeah,
I mean, this is probably a dumb question. 10, still a bet?
I mean, I'm not going to tell you no.
Right, because why would you say no right now?
I'm not
going
to tell you no.
I think I'm going to bet it 10 still.
Back to the Masters real quick, because Michael Montesano's about to join us here to talk NBA, and he actually has an MLB award bet that he wants to make, and we'll get a Masters pick from him, too. You had first round leader bets, and then also a thing about matchups.
Yeah, I was able to get through. Sorry, I didn't want to rush through everything. I bet a lot of tournament matchups. We talk about this a lot, Gil, with just betting golf and how, you know, what percentage of the pie, right? How you splitting it up and what you're sinking it. A lot of my betting is usually tournament matchups, top 20s. I think you'll hear that from most golf bettors that do it on a week to week basis. I just wanted to put it out there. I did bet a lot of matchups this week. None of them all that heavy, though, money-wise. These were all just kind of number plays based off of where guys were showing up on my numbers compared to what odds I was getting. So, Berger's a guy we talked about a bunch, Gil. I didn't do anything with him in the in placement markets or anything. He's still rated out pretty high for me.
I don't like the sound of that.
That's right. Yeah. We'll see if the Masters lets these get home.
Yeah.
Berger over Vito.
We'll have to take care of that.
Berger over Sam Burns. Burns is another guy. He's just had a really, really up and down, mainly down year so far. So -135. I was okay laying this. This gets back to the Xander Schauffele. I did play him in one market. I played him at +145 in a matchup over Jon Rahm. I just think at that pricing, if Xander's back to anything close to what we've seen of Xander last summer, this is a big, big price that you're getting against Jon Rahm. So +145, I couldn't pass that up. JT definitely rates out higher for me than Patrick Cantlay this week. So at -110, yeah, I'll be on that side. You know this guy I don't like to bet, Gil. Jordan Spieth, even money in a matchup over Brooks Koepka.
You must really like him.
Spieth is, he's probably a top 15 golfer for me this week, and Brooks is not right there, I think. So, even money on Jordan Spieth in a matchup. Keegan Bradley, I'll lay the 125 in a matchup against Aaron Rye. Aaron Rye's first time at Augusta. Usually you see struggles with those players. We joked about this one earlier. Zach Johnson -118 over Max Homa.
That's a tournament matchup I can get behind.
That's right. And then I got Phil Mickelson, top senior. I actually love this bet. Shop around. I have seen wildly different prices on this market. But there's not a lot of great senior players that you expect a lot out of, so him at -150 to be the best I can get behind. And then Jaeger, we talked about, top German over Bernhard Langer. And then three first round leader bets for me: JT, Russell Henley, Sepp Straka is what I'm going to go into tomorrow with.
Yeah, Phil Mickelson, what did he finish a few years back? He was way up on the leaderboard, right?
Second,
was that the 2023 Masters?
So
yes, he finished second, a tie for second with Koepka, four strokes behind Jon Rahm that year. Okay, let's bring in some guests. And again, it's required of all guests to reveal their Masters pick, no matter what subject they're talking about. Michael Montesano joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Michael first came to our attention back in the day as the Circa Booby Prize winner, $100K, and the first Booby Prize offered by Circa Millions. He is with us now. What's the great weightlifting Twitter handle you have now? Bets and Reps.
Bets and Reps. Yep. Bets, I mean, it's I'm really into health and fitness. If anyone, people that really know me, you guys know me. It's just one of my things that it's my obsession, my passion, obviously, besides sports betting. If I can influence or get anyone, to take their health more seriously, I'm all for it.
There you go. There you go. Michael Montesano with a little PSA. There.
Well said. Well said. I didn't get a sympathy ha out of either one of you, though. When Mike was in town, we were watching games, and Gil was asking me when I was going to be down to go watch games. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be a little later. I got to get some reps in before I get those bets in. I didn't even get a sympathy ha on the text messages.
We were too busy watching. All right, Mike, before anything else, Masters, who were your bets?
Yeah, so the only outright I've made so far is Colin Morikawa. I did tweet that out not too long ago. When I tweeted it, I had him at 14-1. I think he's 18-1 now, so he might be able to you know, you'll get a little bit better number. I'm probably going to add more on him at 18-1. And I'm also going to take him top 10. I believe there, I saw like plus 220 or plus 210. And those are some pretty good prices out there. So that's who I'm going with. I will probably add a couple more outrights. I think I might do more. Is it in play or in match wagering now? You know, just to kind of feel it out. I have not gone crazy this year for some reason.
Well, here's the thing. And I think this needs to be said for a bunch of us. And I'll raise my hand. We might have success in other sports, but Wes and Kelly and Matt and guys like that make golf look really easy sometimes. Yeah. It don't usually work out for me. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's a percentage of us that fall into this category. And so it does make me want to just temper what I do. So far for me, just Straka outright and top 10. Maybe I'll add some, but I won't go crazy on it. Before we get to basketball, which is your true passion, you have a baseball award bet you've made.
I do. When I was in Vegas, when I was hanging out with you guys, I was fortunate enough. I was on Mitch and Paulie at Follow the Money. I did give out Jack Caglione for AL Rookie of the Year. Now he was 25-1. I think you might get him at 28-1 or 30-1 right now. I got to shop around. I actually took him way back in February at 50-1, but you know, for the point of the odds given it on the show, it was 25-1. He started off great in the minors. It's one of those things where if it's about service time, they're going to call him up in May. And right now the Royals are, you know, about 18th in runs per game. And, but if you just kind of monitor what he's doing, he's a top prospect. The guy is a bulldog. He's just mashing the ball at double A. So keep an eye on him. When he goes to triple A, that means the net, you know, they're getting him ready to call him up. And, so just keep an eye on him. That's my guy right now.
All right, Caglianone, Jack Caglianone with the Royals. Okay, to basketball. Imagine, Mike, this is your last. There's three games left in the regular season, as you know. This is your final opportunity to sort of give your stump speech. Imagine that Brian Windhorst, Timmy Bontemps, Zach Lowe, whomever, all those NBA influencers are listening right now. Give us your thoughts on each award. Let us start with... Well, what's the one you're most passionate about? Should we start with Defensive Player of the Year? Let's start with that.
We'll start with Defensive Player of the Year. And there's two things if you're voting on these awards. What are you looking at? Are you looking at all the advanced metrics? Or are you looking at a player like Lu Dort who shuts down the top top offensive player every single night? Now, I know Oklahoma City has struggled the last few games, but this is a full body of work the full season. He has shut down numerous top offensive players. He get, you know, and if it, a lot of the guys are you know, rooting for him on his team, they say watch the games because metrically he's not up there in the advanced metrics. If you're going to advanced metrics, I have no idea why Amen Thompson is not being even, he's not even on anyone's odds board. He got hurt about a month ago. He missed some games, but he has always been in the top three or four of my Defensive Player of the Year model. And right now, he's clearly ahead of Draymond Green and Evan Mobley in defensive rating, defensive win shares, stocks, and everyone's favorite, DEPM actual on the Dunks and Threes website. That he is by far on that site, he's ahead of Draymond Green and Evan Mobley. So if it's who's the best defensive player on the number one defensive team? It's Lu Dort. Who is the best defensive player metrically? They really need to go and start looking at Amen Thompson. And I'm telling you right now, he is going to steal a lot of votes from everyone just because of his play over the last 2 weeks. We know how voters like to, it's recency bias, and we know what he's done the last couple of weeks, especially since he's come back from the injury.
In your heart of hearts, who do you think wins this?
Who do I think wins it? I think they're just going to give it to Mobley.
Oh, wow.
But he's nowhere near Amen Thompson.
Okay. So you're more Thompson than Dort right now? Does it sound like that?
Well, I mean, again, I have a lot of Lu Dort tickets. Now, when Wemby got hurt, I did jump on. I did take Amen Thompson just because of my model. I didn't get a lot down on him, but I did get him at 60-1. I love Lou Dort. He's the he's the guy that stops everybody. But again, what are the voters looking at? Are they looking at metrics, or are they looking at who can defend the top offensive players night in, night out, and shut them down? And that is Lou Dort. I don't know. I really don't know what the voters are looking for and what they're going to do. We never know with this award. I do know this. Whoever gets the most second and third place votes might win this.
Yeah. Amen Thompson, by the way, not listed everywhere.
He's not even available everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't even see him anywhere.
The Thompson brothers are going to be so good in this league. Yeah. I kind of lean with Mike. I have a feeling we're going to see Evan Mobley win this award. And it's, I'll bring back to where we talked about this like 2 months ago. It was like, we're not going to consider, somehow he's made the jump from, we don't even consider him for most improved player, and he's just going to be defensive player of the year all of a sudden.
But if you're Brian Windhorst, go look at all the metrics I just said. What are you now valuing? What is the value? What are we looking at for defensive player of the year? Because this is so wide open, if you're just looking at the advanced metrics, Amen Thompson clears Draymond Green and Evan Mobley in everything, with the exception with Green defensive box plus minus. Oh, Amen is tied with Green. But everything else, he's the clear leader.
Real quick, before you go, who should be the coach of the year in your opinion?
Oh, I think Atkinson.
Okay.
I think Atkinson. Yeah. I have Atkinson. And then it would be JB right after.
Okay. Dagnall, not listed.
Yeah.
By Michael Montesano. Okay. Mike, you have been very passionate about this subject. We appreciate it at all times, man. Thank you.
Best of luck to everyone's bet.
Michael Montesano, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game. Defensive player of the year. Passion is what that was. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Everything he's betting next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready to get in on the action? First Bet has you covered. Sign up now to access exclusive promotions and bet on hundreds of thrilling horse races every day right from your phone or computer. Visit firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200. Score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Start betting today at firstbet.com. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. See that Luca ejection yesterday?
Yeah.
That was like a, you ever see the movie Swingers, where the two guys were in the booth?
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the guys thought that a girl at the other table was flirting with him. But in fact, it was like the baby behind him. That was the Luca ejection yesterday. Luca's going after this fan right behind the ref, and the ref tosses him.
It's the, I don't feel bad for Luca, though. It's like such a Luca thing. It's kind of cool, but then also just really dumb from a player standpoint that he gets into it with like people sitting courtside, you know?
Of course it is. Like what we were talking about with Durant earlier.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I asked this gentleman moments ago if he had any Masters bets, and the first thing out of his mouth was, what did Rufus bet? Talking about our buddy Rufus Peabody. It's Jason Weingarten, ladies and gentlemen, from Under a Cloud of Smoke, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. What's happening, Jason?
Not much. Getting ready for the Masters bit myself. Don't have any bets, though. I'm going to have to find something. It's I don't know. I got nothing on the Masters, to be honest with you.
Nothing on the Masters. You have the Rufus thing that we don't know. Okay, let's just be clear.
Yeah.
We don't, without 100% certainty, right? We don't have 100% certainty that this is Rufus Peabody. But we are 99.99% sure. Why?
This is the where the Sport Trade Whale Tracker Twitter account is one of my favorite follows, especially this time of year. Because yesterday I'm just sitting at my desk and I see a bunch of tweets coming across from the World Whale Tracker account. I'm gonna go with my favorite one, okay? This is $49,750 on a Phil Mickelson no price. That would profit $250.
Our immediate response was, nice bet, Rufus.
Hey, Rufus. And there's like, you can go to the account, there's like seven of those bets.
By the way, do you do any no's to miss the cut or anything like that?
The Masters, usually there is, you could do some make the cut parlays, right? Because it's usually, you usually have a smaller field than we have this year, and there's still top 50 in ties. So, yeah, I don't usually, but I might look at a couple.
All right, Jason, I have a question from a previous guest that he asked me to ask of you. You ready for this? Michael Montesano just said that he has bet, was it Jack Caglione?
Yeah.
For American League Rookie of the Year. Do you support or do you not support that wager?
I mean, it depends. You think he's coming up? When's he coming up? I don't know exactly when, but you would assume at some point in May, late May would probably be his time frame if he's going to win. I don't mind it. Like, it's not unreasonable. 31-1 is what I see. Christian Campbell, short favorite, 2.5-1. Cam Smith kind of hasn't taken off like some people expected. As far as the market goes overall, like, there's no pitchers that I'm super worried about in the American League. So I'm not opposed to that. I think if you believe that he's coming up and, you know, he's got plenty of time to win the award, you know, I wouldn't get too concerned with who are the favorites at these, on any of these awards early, except Aaron Judge. I think he's already a prohibitive favorite for the AL MVP, but yeah, I don't mind that bet at all. I think it's probably a decent bet.
Have you added any bets in any MLB awards markets?
A little bit. I like one Cy Young guy that's pitching well. It's a little bit of a short number, but still double digits. Hunter Green, 11-1. You know, another young guy, not always getting the recognition he might deserve playing in Cincinnati, but I'm interested in him. I bet a little bit on Yoshi Yamamoto at 20-1 at FanDuel earlier this week. I think he's kind of solidified himself as the Dodgers' number one pitcher to start the year, especially with Snell going on the DL there, unfortunately. You never really have enough pitching, but Yamamoto, Hunter Green, and then I bet a little bit, like a very, very small amount on Roque Sasaki, 5-1 for Rookie of the Year, because that number is just about drifted out to double what it was before the season. And it's still so early. Like, I'm not going to hold three starts against Sasaki. I'm not really going to hold a bad start against anybody right now. Then the other bet, also just a future real quick. FanDuel also still has win totals up, and the Braves are still 89.5. You know, like I think this team has a good rotation. I think they could be threat in the playoffs. Maybe they end up in a wild card spot, but 89.5 wins, I'm still going under.
I like it. I'm glad I asked. You have plenty. Let me ask you this, just in the first stretch of games here of the season, again, we're just over, you know, somewhere between 10 and 15 games played for everybody. So we're not even 12.5%, not even an eighth of the way through the season. What has surprised you in a way, either to the good or bad, where it's not just something that you might dismiss because of small sample size, something that you look at and you're like, that actually might be a thing that I didn't anticipate?
I think we're continuing to see the lack of pitchers hurting teams. There's so many guys starting. Like today, the Mariners are starting Luis F. Castillo. It's really confusing, by the way. I hate that there's two Luis Castillos on the Mariners. It really screws with my head. But we're seeing, you know, pitching injuries are unpredictable. A guy like Blake Snell gets hurt. You never know when someone's going to go down. And, you know, the Dodgers can fill that spot pretty easily. But I think as the season goes on, we're going to see teams scrambling more and more to fill rotation spots and spots in the bullpen when guys get hurt. But I noticed this was sort of a thing last year, and it's carrying over this year. I really do think I don't know when it's going to kind of stabilize, but I think teams are going to run out of pitchers as the season winds down, even though we're so early into the season. It's something I can kind of see happening if things continue the way they are. Otherwise, I think the other thing that's kind of surprised me is I was very down on the Marlins. I'm still down on the Marlins, but I think they're slightly better than I expected, even though I look at their roster and I'm like, wow, there's not a single one of these starters that would probably be on the roster of a Yankees or a Dodgers or some of the better teams in the league. So you're really seeing sort of the talent disparity top to bottom if you ever do choose to watch a Marlins game for some reason.
Well, I'll be watching today because I got the Mets race to 10 and Mets going for their 9th win today. Somehow still alive now that the Dodgers have lost 4 out of their last 5 and have not gotten to the 10-win mark. If I had to say right now, then who is the worst team in Major League Baseball? Like, what's the team where you're like, oh, it was a little questionable who would it be the worst team, but they are absolutely the worst team. It is
Pirates.
Skeens is human. And if Skeens is human every once in a while, oh my God, are they going to be bad?
Why are they the worst team? Is because they haven't spent money on a free agent since Ivan Nova. Like, they're not committed to fielding at any cost. Like, it's funny because you start realizing that things like seeing fans yell, sell the team is kind of, it happens in every sport and every league at every level, but you're starting to see the Pittsburgh fans telling their owner to sell the team. And it's kind of embarrassing to be the owner that doesn't spend any money, especially when you have a guy like Skeen. So my answer for the worst team is the Pittsburgh Pirates, because they refuse to invest when they have a chance to be great.
An Ivan Nova reference. I did not expect that on the show today. Are you on the over train in Sacramento? Have you been doing this?
I have not. And, whenever these things kind of happen and I miss them, I feel bad that I'm missing out on these things. But usually when I arrive, the party's over. So
don't arrive. Not today. Don't arrive yet. Wait till next time.
You guys can keep having fun. I do have two bets today, though.
Please. Yes.
I bet the Phillies plus 122 and the Astros with Hunter Brown pitching, one of the guys I like a decent amount, minus 127. So, Got that going for me.
Phillies and Astros. Got that going for him. Jason Weingard with the Phillies and the Astros. Jason, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you. I'll talk to you later.
Phillies and Astros for Jason, which might be a good time to give us to give everybody the Joe Pita bets of the day.
Yeah.
Joe Pita, who went 2-2 yesterday, but it was a positive day because he had the Blue Jays at plus 170. And then the market steamed against him and the Blue Jays rolled. He is on four plays today. By the way, on the season, Joe Pita, 13-10 for plus 3.32 units, all lines at Circa. He is on the Athletics, minus 116 against the Padres in Sacktown. He's on the A's tonight. He is on the Mariners. He is on the Mariners today. Mariners taking on the Astros. He got him at plus 112. You can actually get a better price. Let me see. Actually, I'm looking at first five there. Mariners are what about right now? No, plus 117. Yeah, a little better against the Astros. So Athletics, Mariners. He's also on the Blue Jays once again against the Red Sox, plus 111. And then he added a fourth. He looked at the Pirates lineup, just sort of dovetailing off what Jason just said. And he said, the Pirates announced the lineup this morning and it is abysmal. He said, add the Cardinals. And so he has. Cardinals minus 115 against the Pirates. So for Joe, Athletics, Mariners, Blue Jays, and Cardinals, your Joe Pita baseball plays of the day. See you, Najad, on the Masters next, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Summer Special is here, and it's the best deal of the season. For just $59, get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through August 1st. That's 50% off the regular monthly price, from Augusta to the NFL Draft, MLB action, the NBA and NHL playoffs, and the Kentucky Derby. VSiN Pro has you covered all summer long. Sign up now, get expert picks, including all our best bets for the Masters, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our Kentucky Derby betting guide and the NFL betting guide when it drops this summer, giving you a head start on football season. Every sport, every edge, one price. Get full access now through August 1st for just $59. VSiN.com/subscribe is where it's at. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander. Let's talk some Masters, shall we? Again, less than 24 hours away, and I've got full-on Masters fever.
Let's
I don't
go.
Know about you.
Me too. Oh, yeah.
I don't think I'm only going to have the Straka bets by tee off tomorrow, but that's where I am right now. Scottie Scheffler, again, the short shot, 4-1. And Rory, I am contractually obligated to say every time you bring up Rory, going for the career slam, his 11th try at this, plus 650 to win it all. By the way, Scheffler and McIlroy, top five, minus 115 and plus 130 respectively. And then everybody else, double digits to win it outright. We bring in our buddy Sia Najad from CBS Sports and Sportsline, courtesy of the Progressive guest line right now. You can follow him on Twitter at Sia Najad. That's S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D. And always over his left shoulder, one of the all-time very goods, Santana Moss, throwing up the sign to Sean Taylor up there in heaven. How you doing, Sia?
I'm doing well. I mean, yeah, you know what's funny about this Masters stuff that you mentioned? Like, you've got that Masters fever. this is what I feel like every single week because golf betting is so fun. I just feel like I have to put that out there. Like, yeah. It is so fun to bet on golf.
And you are known for it. I know you. I always say this with you. You didn't intend to be known for this. This was not your goal. You didn't set out to be, hey, I'm the first round leader guy. But you hit so many of them, and we'll get to that from you. But let's start with the outrights. Where did you land?
Well, I landed on a couple of guys. So here's the thing. When you look at the top of the board, you can find an argument against Scotty and Rory. Like, there's a couple of compelling arguments against them, but they are like the obvious, like, okay, their short numbers are there for a reason. When you go down the board, there's a lot of arguments against some of these guys. And I do think those arguments are lending themselves to numbers that are too long on the following: Colin Morikawa, who you can get at 18-1, maybe 16-1 in some places, depends on where you look, and Xander Schauffele. You can get anywhere between 18 and 22-1. I think the case for Colin Morikawa is really simple, and that's that he can't close thing is overblown. First of all, he has closed before. It's just been a long time. With that said, I'm looking for a guy who's going to put himself in position to win. Whether he can close or not, I'm not worried about that question as much as I'm worried about, can you get me there? And the way Colin Morikawa has been playing, he absolutely can get me there. The metrics are so good, not just with his recent form, but with his Masters track record as well. I think he is fit for this course more than most people think. I think he's shown that. And again, if he's going to give me the chance to be there on Sunday, that I'm going to go ahead and trust it. I do think you can play him in the without Scotty and Rory market if you want at a lower number, like 12-1. But I like Morikawa and I like Xander Schauffele. Xander Schauffele 2 weeks ago was great at the Valspar in terms of his approach play. Everything else is kind of like it has to come around. But this is a guy who closes, has two major championships last year, and he's had a few weeks for his game to kind of rebound from his last tournament, but also from his rib injury a couple of months ago. So I think a 20-1 number on Xander Schauffele is kind of silly.
I love your finishing positions bets, because in a field that is muted as we have at Augusta from year to year, asking someone to finish in the top 40 is not that big of an ask. And you landed on a couple players here.
Yeah, a couple of players that have good weekends usually and who are playing really well. I've got Lucas Glover and JJ Spahn both in the top 40 market. You got to fish for this number to find the -110 because it is a little bit longer in some places. But this number is out there. And again, JJ Spahn has been really good this entire season. We know he almost closed and beat Rory McIlroy just a few weeks ago. But even without that, the game's been consistent and the form is really good. I mean, the course fit is really good, too. He's a good long iron player. The short game is decent. Off the tee play is decent. And again, he played here, what, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, finished inside the top 40. That was his only time at the Masters. So I like him as a top 40 player. And Lucas Glover, he just keeps showing up. As long as the putter cooperates to any degree, which typically, or at least lately it has, Lucas Glover's track record here has been really good. I mean, he's been inside the top 40 his last two tries here. His recent form is good. I think these are really good numbers. If you want to speculate on the top 30 at a much better number, I don't mind that either.
And Spahn is one of your tournament matchups as well, backing him.
Yeah, I like Spahn. So, yes, I'm looking at my tournament. Yeah, Spahn over Matt Fitzpatrick, I really like. And this is more of a fade of Matt Fitzpatrick than it is anything. I do like JJ Spahn. And I think some people might argue, well, Matt Fitzpatrick has a really good Masters track record. How far do you want that to take you when it comes to Matt Fitzpatrick? Because his recent form, and by recent, I mean like the last 12 months, have been deplorable. It's like an out-of-body experience. This is like a Max Homa situation. We're just not talking about it. So yeah, give me the guy that's hot, that has decent history here, over the guy that has great course history here, but has been absolutely terrible for the last year.
I see Kelly reacting with a shaking of the head.
His next matchup, I'm very eager to find out where he betted at, because I'll be joining him on that one. But JJ Spahngill, if we're just going off of my recent form numbers, you would be shocked at how high he rated. Yeah. Like, and we're talking top 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Keegan Bradley over Davis Thompson is the one that Kelly alluded to. Where is that at?
This one's over at DraftKings, as is the JJ Spahn one under tournament matchups specifically. Davis Thompson hasn't played at the Masters before. Okay, so he's a pretty talented player, but I think he's going to be really shaky here. He's such a hit or miss guy. Yes, he's hyper talented, but there just as many tournaments as he can show up, there are those tournaments where he can just kind of go away real quick. And when you haven't played at Augusta before and you're going up against a guy in Keegan Bradley who has played here plenty, and yeah, he's been a little shaky here and there with the metrics here and there, but he's been relatively consistent with the ball striking, has the course experience. This should probably be minus 130 as well, maybe even minus 140. I'm getting them at minus 110. You know, maybe I'm overselling it a little bit because maybe I don't appreciate the talent that Davis Thompson has. But again, hasn't played at Augusta and has been very shaky tournament to tournament. Give me Keegan.
I think you're dead on. See, I laid 125 with Keegan over Aaron Rye for a lot of the same reasons. Mm. I would rather lay 110 over Davis Thompson, though, than my bet over Aaron Rye.
Man, you love Keegan Bradley, though, historically.
It's a lot of what C is talking about, though. We're talking about two guys that have not played Augusta before going up against Keegan Bradley, who's had a pretty good season and has shown here before.
Were you two golf hardos? Let me just ask this because it popped in my head. Where are we with the uniformity of tournament matchups and tournaments now? Used to be that it was the same tournament matchups no matter where you bet.
Oh, great question.
Where are we now with that?
All over the place.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there are still, I don't know that there, I mean, there's still kind of the uniform Don Best posted of matchups here in Vegas, but I see a, please.
Some books go rogue now.
Yeah, but a lot of books are posting their own matchups.
Interesting. Yeah.
This is high frustration for me because I said it at the beginning of this segment where like golf betting is so fun, but these books aren't understanding that you're kind of stealing the fun and you're stealing some of the handle that you could receive if there was uniformity here. And maybe there are other reasons why they're not making it uniform. Maybe they want to pick out their own matchups and that they think there's too much of an advantage to the better in these matchups. I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but if you want more people to bet at your sports book, then you got to have a lot of matchups. You got to have a lot of round matchups. And that's the big frustration. My specialty is round matchups. Last week, I went 5 for 5 in round matchups. My tournament matchups were 2 for 4. So like I was very middling there. I didn't hit an outright, but 5 for 5 in round matchups. And some of my round matchups, people can't bet because they're not at their sports book. Now, usually they're at one of the primary sports books. Don't get me wrong. But the long and short of it is if you had uniformity, you'd have so many more people interested in betting golf. I don't know what the miss is here, but it is a huge miss by the sports book.
That's also interesting that you do better on round by round matchups than full tournament, because usually I would think it will require the tournament to most often manifest for you if your handicap is good. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's true. But I mean, I think just for me, it's just an 18. So it's funny how you said that, because yes, 72 holes more than 18, but 18, like our sample size, we're kind of just like, I guess brainwashed with like, what is a good sample size and what isn't? 18 holes is a pretty big sample size if you think about it. It's not as big as 72, but I've got 18 chances for my guy to beat the other guy. And I've got a lot of good statistics moving that direction for the 18 holes. So again, it depends on how you conceive and perceive of sample sizes.
All right. What we've all been waiting for, Sia's first round leader bets are
Colin Morikawa, one of my outrights, who, again, I'm also playing in the without Scotty and Rory market, but this is first round leader. So this is not, there's no without market here. I got Colin Morikawa at 28-1. I got Will Zalatoris, who I think has an outside chance to win this tournament. And I think his metrics are really shaping up in the right way. We know the Masters track record is good. So in round one, he should be very comfortable on this track. Him and Minwoo Lee at 45-1. Interesting because their styles are very contrasting, but I like them both. I like Will Zalatoris more than Minwoo Lee, but I like them both at 45-1. And then an absolute long bomb. You don't have to take this one if you don't want to, maybe a couple of bucks. Steven Yeager is really popping in areas that I didn't think he would be popping, like approach at 100-1. Can he explode for one round? I think the answer is maybe. And at 100-1, I'm willing to find out.
I am manifesting Minwoo Lee in my head. Something tells me.
Right. He's a great first round leader. Yeah. You're talking about a guy who's great off the tee, great with the putter. Just if he has a good day with the irons, he's right there.
And Steven
Yeager. Good at Augusta.
And Steven Yeager, all those years after being the catcher for the Dodgers. It's amazing. He's still,
I know,
still
it's crazy. Himself.
Crazy. Thank you, C. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Sia Najad, everybody. CBS Sports, Sportsline. Check him out on Twitter at Sia Najad. We'll wrap it up. All of our bets, every host, every guest, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house. Time for our G-Bank best bets of the day. All best bets courtesy of G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. Every host, every guest, every sport, recapped at the end of every show here on the network. Today, no different. We will begin with my own. Once again, I'm on the over in Sactown between the A's and the Padres. I only did the full game here. I didn't get a first five bet in before the show started. And now, by the way, about the full game I have is over 9.5. it's 10 already, and the first five is 5.5. Usually with this, again, my whole thing is about the lack of foul territory when it's fly ball pitchers on both teams. So I would usually do the first five even more so than the full game. But today with bullpen sort of exhaustion, the full game is the better bet to me. And that's what I ended up on, also based on timing. So over 9.5 for me in Sacramento. Day game, by the way, in Sacramento. And then the Masters, I only have two so far, outright on Sepp Straka at 70.5-1 and a top 10 that I added on Sepp Straka at plus 554. Will I have more Masters bets by tee off tomorrow? Yes, I probably will. But right now, that's what I have in there. Kelly?
I'm with you on the baseball again. Padres, A's. I'm over 10 because I was lazy and waited too long, apparently.
Sorry.
Well, so hopefully, like yesterday, it doesn't matter at all.
That's right.
Right? Because didn't I have a half run, half better than you yesterday? It didn't matter at all.
Didn't matter. First inning, bingo, bango.
Shit, VSiN.com. Go to VSiN.com for all of my Masters bets. I feel like it might take us 2 hours for me to read through the entirety once again.
There's a snapshot of them. Rory and Shane Lowry.
Outrights. Yeah, outrights on Rory and Shane Lowry. Top five, Rory and Sepp Straka. Top 10, Colin Morikawa and Shane Lowry. I love Morikawa. I understand why Sia's on him. I think the winner without market might be the way to go there. Top 20s, Robert McIntyre, Corey Connors, Sepp Straka, and then a bunch of tournament matchups that I have. Let's see, Daniel Berger over Tony Finau, Berger over Burns, Shoffley over Rahm, Justin Thomas over Cantlay, Jordan Spieth over Brooks Koepka, Keegan Bradley over Aaron Rye, Zach Johnson over Max Homa, Steven Yeager over Bernard Langer, Phil Mickelson is your top senior player, and then first round leader for me, Justin Thomas, Russell Henley, Sepp Straka.
Okay, well done. Also had bets from our guest today, of course, as we do each and every day. By the way, Big Foe, if you want to break back in that third set, anytime you're ready, it'd be great. Big Foe wins the first set, loses the second, now down a break here in the third. This was from, who's our first guest?
Michael Montesano.
Michael Montesano. He is on, he had an AL Rookie of the Year bet on Jack Caglianone to win the AL Rookie of the Year again. When do you think he's going to get called up? Either way, he wants to get ahead of it. 25-1 is what is available, and Montesano jumped in on that. Jason Weingarten from the top rope today.
Yeah.
He's on the Phillies, plus 122 versus the Braves. The Astros laying minus 127 versus the Mariners. Then he added some awards bets. Hunter Green to win the NL Cy Young, coming off a great performance against the Giants. 11-1 on Hunter Green. Then Yoshinobu Yamamoto to win the NL Cy Young at 22-1. And then he added Roki Sasaki to win NL Rookie of the Year at 5-1. I thought he already had a Sasaki bet, but I guess not. 5-1 for NL Rookie of the Year for Jason. Joe Pita has four bets. He's on the A's today in Sacramento versus the Padres. A's minus 116. He's on the Mariners, plus 112. He's on the Blue Jays for the second straight day. Hit a big plus 170 yesterday against the Sox. Today it's plus 113. And then he added the Cardinals, minus 115. Took one glance at that Buccos lineup, and he's like, I gots to add that. Gots to add that. So Joe coming through with four again. Joe kind enough to give us his baseball plays each and every day, Monday through Friday. And then you know what he does on the weekends? He's like, yeah, I'll just take a couple days off.
He chills.
Because people ask him, hey, goodness. He's like, no, I'm just keeping it to Monday through Friday. G-Bank, official bank of VSiN, all of our bets. By the way, we had Sia Najad's bets too. We're not going to repeat all those. Is that
no, we can. We can. We can go through Sia's. He had outrights on Xander Schauffele, which I brought up earlier. I think if you're finding the 20-1 range, I get the two outrights he's betting. I understand his whole card. But yeah, Morikawa 18-1 for him. Schauffele 20-1. I'm playing Morikawa just top 10, but I get it. He's definitely one of the highest rated golfers for me. Xander Schauffele, look, this is just one of those points, Gil. There's a chance we don't see a price like this ever on Xander the rest of the season. He goes out, plays well this week.
True that.
Puts all the questions to bed. You're never seeing 20-1 on him again the rest of this season. Top 40s on Lucas Glover and J.J. Spahn. Both those guys rated out very highly for me as well. Glover was one I was considering for first round leader, actually. Then he's got matchups. J.J. Spahn over Matt Fitzpatrick. Keegan Bradley over Davis Thompson. First round leaders bets on Colin Morikawa, Will Zalatoris, Minwoo Lee, and Steven Yeager.
Okay. Best Bets brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. GBank upping the ante with a $750 bonus for new GBank Visa Signature Card customers. First new customers to spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank, subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. Sorry to everybody, I didn't get to as many tweets today, but I did want to read this one from Jesse Welch, who said that moment with JVT earlier is the exact kind of magical stuff that happens on VSiN, which makes it the absolute best entertainment out there. What he's referring to is was it the lights or the monitor went out?
We have a new monitor for his home setup behind him, and when he was on By the Books yesterday, the same exact thing happened. Probably about 6 minutes into the interview, it went black. He might have gotten a little blame for it yesterday, and then comes back today and the same thing happens.
As soon as he mentions Los Angeles Clippers, it happens. Take that as an omen. It would be my recommendation. Jason H11 just tweeted in too, and this is something. So last segment with Sia, I brought up a question about the uniformity of golf matchups.
Yes.
In tournaments. So you love that subject. And Jason H11 just pointed out, he goes, have you guys seen or have access to this market? Thoughts? And what he just flashed up on a little image is off his computer, player to lead after any completed round.
No, oh, there it is.
I love it. Yes, no. So this is the thing. And I've often said on this show, there is no sport more ripe for a betting revolution than golf. This goes back to the World Sports Exchange stuff for those of us who bet a million years ago offshore.
This is awesome.
And there's just so much you can do with a golf tournament. There's no other sport that has a pool of players that takes place over 4 days. You could literally make it into a stock market, right? And that completely changes with each hole, with each stroke, quite frankly, for either of these golfers. But then there's the static markets like this where there is no excuse not to have these up. This is great.
Been yelling about this specific one for 5 years.
Yes.
Just to lead after any round.
Why do we only have after the first round? Why can't we have it after any round? Why can't we have it after the second round or after the third round, right? Why don't those basic things exist?
So books have started posting some of those, but round to round. Not for the entire tournament.
Correct.
You're saying
from the beginning, right? And we get that they exist in some spots, but not uniformly, right? It's not a universal thing.
I've never seen this.
This one,
the one that Jason said, and I have never seen. And this is the one I've been complaining about for 5 years. Like, why is this not out
there? Did you tell us what skin or wherever that's at, Jason?
Yeah.
But you, the other thing you wanted to talk about was
The matchups,
which I think is as great a point as any, which is we have the technology. This is where, by the way, we did the Profit X thing earlier. And I'm like, Profit X, this is why like peer-to-peer stuff is great. But you were talking about how we have the technology with those tournament matchups. What was your idea? Drop downs.
You're rating the odds makers. If you've got true odds makers in house, you're rating every single golfer that's in the field, right? There is no reason with the technology that's out there these days at a DraftKings, FanDuel, MGM, Caesars, wherever else you want to throw in there, that I can't go to their website and I should be able to go to create your own tournament matchup.
100%.
Go from column A and column B and do a drop down menu of the guy I want to bet on versus the other guy I want to bet against and give me a price.
That's right. You should be able to put Scottie Scheffler versus Jose Maria Lothable and see what that price is.
It should be a price. It would be minus 60,000, but whatever. Give me a price. Yeah. And you should be able to do that with anybody in any golf tournament.
It is super frustrating. And much of that is, and we know this from the state of Nevada. Sorry, Nevada, but it's true. That when you have your own little ecosystem, like a Nevada specifically, there is no incentive to innovate because your ecosystem is your ecosystem. You're not competing against DraftKings or FanDuel. So the incentive to innovate is just simply not there. But as far as the bigger shops, right, that you're referring to,
they're always bringing up new stuff.
Why wouldn't they do that? Right. Why wouldn't you? You're looking to differentiate yourself, you know. And I don't know, maybe we're being naive. Maybe the technology shift for something like that with a drop down isn't as easy as we imagine.
Yeah, maybe it's not. No, you're right. That should be said. I thought it was a great question that you threw out with Sia about matchups, though, because we're in the weirdest time for that because
it's in between. Right?
We're in between. There's still some books that are posting the same matchups and then some that are doing their own.
And I would imagine that might even cause more frustration because one that you want is likely not to be there. And yet you have to do more work just in case it might be out there.
Correct.
Bingo, bang. Yeah, that's correct. That's the reason.
100%.
And at that point, you almost are like, let it just be uniform then.
Yes. Yeah. To make it easier, I'll be searching around. Yeah.
All right. Well, just betting thoughts. The Masters, less than 24 hours away. I am sure Stormy will have much on the 89th Masters and everything else, the goings on. I think she's been on the Sacramento overs as well.
Okay.
So I'm sure she's pumped about that. Money Moves, top of the hour, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.